Well, I had a birthday this past week. I turned 39, and I got to reflecting about my birthday. So I'm going to show you some pictures of me growing up through the ages. How's that sound? This is me when I turned one. Cute. Curly hair. Okay. This is five, at 5 years old. This next one I think is seven, and I'm there blowing out some candles. You see a little baseball cake with my sister next to me. This next one I think is nine. And I've got cousins and a friend and my sister again in that. But I could show you a lot of different looks through the years, but I'm going to skip to 30. And the reason why I show this picture is because I showed it a few weeks ago. And Shane came up to me after he saw it. He said, "You know, I never realized how much your hairline was receding until I saw how much hair you had when you were 30. Thanks, Shane. And as I was looking through my pictures, one of the ones that jumped out at me was a picture with my grandparents. And I was looking at my grandma and grandpa. This is me coming straight home from the hospital to their house. And I was wondering, how old were they? They looked pretty young to me. And I got doing the math, and I realized that they were 44 when I came home to them from the hospital. My grandparents were 44 when I was born, and I'm 39. I'm not too far away from 44. I'm getting older. But I'm not the only one in this room who's getting older, who's aging. You may be older than me. You may be younger than me. You may have a head full of hair. Or you may not. Maybe it's gray. Maybe it's gone. But all of us are aging. All of us are getting older. We can't stop what's happening right now. So today, as we finish up our series on the 23rd Psalm, last week we talked about how surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. We're going to peek around the corner past this life and ask, what next? What's after? What happens after this life is over? So if you, as we're thinking about forever today, if you would read the 23rd Psalm with me, that would be great. So let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Today is about forever. James, before we really get into the 23rd Psalm, I want to look at something that James says. He writes this: "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." And I'm going to ask Kristen to come up and do a demonstration for me. Okay. Kristen represents time. She's going to demonstrate something for us. Demonstrate. Time is running out. Way to go, Kristen. That was. She ran a lot faster than I thought. She's pretty fast. Wow. Now, I hope it's not running out that quickly. She's gone. She's home by now. But time is running out. Now, some days it seems like time will last forever. Our lives are never going to end. Some days it just seems like it. There's some days that just seem to go on and on and on. But there are other times when we come to those realizations. Maybe it's seeing a parent age. Maybe it's being at a wake of a funeral. Maybe it's somebody getting sick. Maybe it's looking in the mirror, having a birthday. And we realize this time's running out. This may not last forever. Maybe it's going faster than I think even. And so as we're grappling with that, it's a bittersweet reality. It can be sweet in the sense that we realize, okay, time is running out. It's the "this too shall pass" idea where I've got these struggles right now, but they're not going to last forever. It puts our burdens, our struggles in perspective, realizing this phase is not going to last forever. Things are going to change. But it's bitter too when we realize this isn't going to last forever. And we see pictures of past birthdays or warm family memories or times that we cherish when we realize things are changing. Maybe there's a person or two or more than that missing who are no longer with us in some of those pictures. And it's bitter. Maybe it's as our bodies age and break down and we feel more sore or we're more vulnerable. We get sick more often. We're in pain and we realize, man, my body's running out. My body's not working like it used to. Time is running out. It's a bittersweet truth. Now, last week, I gave Greg that slide, James 4:14, what is your life? And it was an accident that was slipped into last week's service. Truth be told, what I had done was I had given him this week's slides last week. And being a pastor, I'm going to do the corny pastor thing here and turn it into an illustration about what this message is not. This message is not, okay, guys, we're going to die, so just let's look forward, let's escape reality, and let's just think about heaven and forget about this. We're just going to pine away and wait until we get there, what a day that will be, and let's just wait for it. Nothing matters until then. This is not about escapism or just passively waiting for the next step, because we're all here for a purpose. God has given, there's several purposes for you to be here. But we all have a purpose. There's a reason for all of us to be here. There's no accident with you being right here in this room at this time. There's people in your life, and there's a purpose. There's a reason for what's happening right now. So again, this is not a, our lives are amiss, so it doesn't matter. So let's just wait passively to escape this terrible world. This is the opposite. We should have a sense of urgency, because time is passing by. There's moments we need to savor. There's relationships we need to realize how important they are, because time is running out. Time is passing, and we need to realize that we can be urgent, because it's not going to last forever. Things are changing. So this is not about escapism or waiting, pining away passively. It's about urgency. So let's turn back. C.S. Lewis. Thanks. Greg's saving me again. This is more the mindset that we're looking for. C.S. Lewis says, if you read history, you will find that Christians who did the most for the present world were precisely those who thought the most of the next. Amanda Gaddis touched on this in her talks. But this isn't about just hoping, waiting for heaven, but thinking with an eternal perspective where it really impacts the here and now, what we're doing right here, right now, in this moment, as we think about forever. So let's turn back to 23rd Psalm. David closes the 23rd Psalm with these immortal words, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, when we go to funerals, a lot of times thoughts that enter my head and probably your head are, it's not supposed to end like this. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. Why do people age? Why do people die? How come this is the end? This just feels like the wrong ending. And there's a reason that there's a part of us that thinks that. Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, God has put eternity into man's hearts. Now, our bodies aren't eternal. They're breaking down, and they're going to decompose someday. But we have eternity in our hearts. Our bodies are not made for eternity, but in our hearts, there is that eternal longing where we can recognize it, where we long for it, where we have perspective, because God has put eternity into people's hearts. We have eternity in us. And another C.S. Lewis line, he says, if I find myself in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. So eternity, it gives us perspective about this world. It gives us hope that at the funeral, at the graveyard, that this is not the end, that there's perspective about what happens. It's not just we live, we celebrate and suffer, we die, and that's the end. There's more to life. We're made for more, and there's more than what we see. We're going to move over to something that Jesus told his disciples that he had to die. Some of his disciples didn't agree with him. Peter famously tried to correct Jesus. No, you don't have to die. No, you don't have to suffer. And after breaking that news and trying to comfort them, this is what Jesus said. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus knew his disciples were going to be grieved. And Jesus was before he suffered and died, he was preparing them, he was telling them about a place. And, you know, when we think about heaven, maybe think about TV or movie images. Usually it's light. You think of clouds, maybe. People wear white. And maybe elevator music is in the background, you know, or harps are playing. But usually I think a lot of the portrayals, like it's hard to relate to. Maybe it seems a little boring. Maybe it seems a little like just something that you can't relate to. I was thinking about, wonder what that place is going to be like. Because we have some descriptions. The Bible talks about streets of gold. It talks about gates of pearl and light and just beautiful images. And I wonder, I was thinking about the beautiful places that we have on this earth. Maybe they're shadows. And so maybe the idea, if that idea in our head is of the lights and everybody wearing white and kind of stale music in the background. But what if you were told that you were going to that place? How would you feel? Does that look pretty good? Can you see that? Some of us would be like, yes. How about the next place? How would you like to go there? If you were told, if Jesus came to you and said, I'm going to take you to a place, and this is what it looks like, would you be excited? Okay, how about this place? Okay, I heard some audible gasps. Beautiful. I'd love to go. Okay, how about this place? Yes. How about this place? Yes. How about this place? Yes. I love travelers. I'm a traveler too. How would you like to stay here for a week? How about this place?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Peggy, I got to hide in your suitcase sometime. I love where you go. How would you like to sleep here some night? Some of you would be amazed. Some would not want to go, I know. But that's pretty amazing to me. How about this place? Isn't that beautiful? Now, if we saw some of these places and Jesus or somebody said, I'm going to take you to this place, and you saw that picture or one of those pictures, I think we'd be excited. I know there's all of them that I would love to go to, just like Peggy. But think about that, the scriptural. It's a beautiful, we don't know a lot about the details, or we can't really picture it, sketch it out. But we know from descriptions that heaven, eternity with God, where David talks about, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We get enough to know that it's a beautiful place. It's amazing. We have amazing places on earth to look at and just be in awe of how such beautiful places were made and how we would love to visit those places or spend some time there and just enjoy and worship the Creator at those places. So we know, as we think about this, closing this series out, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a good place. It's a place we want to go. It's hope for after this life that there's something that's better. There's something that can be beautiful and awe-inspiring and wonderful. And it gives us hope that this is just not all that there is. There's something that's eternal, that's better and greater and more full of the glory of God. So how do we apply this today as we're thinking about forever? Because forever is an important concept in the Bible. Jesus talked about eternal life, being one who offers eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. So we, in God's word, we hear this emphasis on forever and eternal life and experiencing that which is good. And as Amanda brought up, there's also a description in the Bible of eternal punishment, hell, separation from God. And none of us want to experience that. Jesus talked about different paths. He talked about a broad path that leads to destruction and a narrow path that leads to life. And I think as we're thinking about this and we have questions about it, because really, none of us really know. None of us have died and then come back and know what it's like or the way. So we're dependent on another source. Jesus, when he was, again, right after he talked to his disciples about the place, Thomas, who a lot of people call Doubting Thomas, asked him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Because it's not just to turn left, turn right, go north, go south, go wherever. But this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way. That's one of the hopes that we have as believers in Christ, is that there is hope of eternal life. There is hope to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that he is the way. And so today we present Jesus as the way, and he's available, that we can take that way. We can embrace him. We can receive him. It also says in the Gospel of John, to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. This is about receiving Christ, that gift of eternal life that he gives, the hope that we have of glory with him in heaven forever, in a place that's good, a place that's beautiful. So this is the opportunity. This is the time. Maybe you feel like Christ is knocking on your heart's door. And I want to encourage you, let him be the way. He is the way and the truth and the life. Receive him. Let him be the Lord of your life, the one who you trust. Because again, we all have some sort of faith in the afterlife. And the question is, and I want to encourage you to reflect on this question. Why do you believe what you believe about the afterlife? Maybe you believe nothing happens. Maybe you just believe science, because science really can't tell us what happens next. Science can just confirm that a person's heart's no longer beating. But why do you, maybe your faith comes from hunches. You have a personal hunch that this is what happened. Maybe your faith comes from what your parents or your grandparents or some sort of teacher told you about what happens after people die. Maybe your faith comes from a philosophy. Some philosophy says this is what happens after you die. Maybe your faith is in a religion, what a religion says happens after you die. Maybe your faith comes from what a celebrity said, or a movie, or a Facebook article. Maybe your faith comes from what's in Scripture. Think about, why is it that you believe what you believe, what happens after a person dies? Because our lives are a mist. Time is running out. And then it's forever. And what next? So I want to encourage you to let Jesus be the way. And think about what it is that you believe about what happens to a person after they die and why you believe that. So I'm going to say a prayer here. And this is just an invitation for Jesus to be the way. If this is you, I encourage you to just open up your palms and just be open to Jesus as the way. Father, we want to open ourselves to you, eternal God. Father, we want to live forever. We want to dwell forever in the house of the Lord. We need to know the way, Lord. Jesus, I believe you are the way. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my death. I repent of my sins. I turn to you, Jesus. Amen. I want to look as we close up at what Jesus says. I will come again and take you too. Fill in the blank if you forgot it. I will come again and take you too. He doesn't say Hawaii. He doesn't say Alaska. He doesn't say Fiji or Saturn or another galaxy. He doesn't even say heaven. Jesus says, I will come again and take you to myself. It's about relationships. Picture from vacation. We go to a lake every year. This is my grandparents and all the ones, they had two kids, and this is their family. It's about being together. This is another picture from a vacation with Vinny's parents. It's not about the scenery. The scenery is beautiful, but it's about togetherness. This is about togetherness. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will be together with God forever. Let's be together with Him. One more prayer. Heavenly Father, eternal God, you have set eternity into our hearts. It doesn't seem right that moments are lost, bodies break down, and life on earth ends in death. But help us to have an eternal perspective. Not so that we passively waste our days in escapist fantasies, but so that we can have a more loving and wise and urgent perspective in the present. Open our eyes to the way, the truth, and the life as we long to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.